Hi, I'm Stunning Stella Cheeks.
And I'm the Enigma Erin Klein.
And this is Not Your Demographic, a feminist wrestling podcast.
Shockingly, those exist. Let's do it, and then if I don't know what's going on, instead of saying I don't know, I say, we'll figure it out.
I'm glad that... What are my tics? I say garbage a lot.
You say garbage a lot.
Is that it, though?
I don't know. Off the top of my head, I can't think of anything. Hmm. I say 100% a lot as well, and absolutely.
Absolutely. Yep. Shout out to my Drag Race fans. Welcome to the podcast, everyone. It has been a week.
It has been a week.
How was your week, Erin?
My week was different than I was expecting, that's for sure.
Sure was.
Well, you see what happened. What happened was. So Stella and I were supposed to go to the AAW show together on Saturday. Notice I said supposed to. I did not go. I could not go because I took a very powerful hit of acid and could not go to the show.
Erin tried to secret trip. And she comes over to my house, and I'm like, something's weird. Are you okay? Here's the deal. I took a little bit of acid. It's way stronger than I thought, but the important thing is I brought you these tickets.
So I sent Stella off with our friend Phil, and did not go to the show. Instead, I watched Wayne's World for the first time, which was super fun.
On acid,
which was the right way to do it. If you, like me, had never seen Wayne's World, you should watch it on acid. It was really good. Watched a really weird...
Or don't.
And then I watched a great Hunter S. Thompson documentary. And then I had a threesome. So, like, nobody feel bad for me. Like, I had a great night. I just didn't have the night that I was expecting. So, you know, that is how my, like, whole weekend went, basically.
That's really funny.
Yeah. That's my life.
I guess the pro side of you doing this is I get to take Phil to a wrestling show. And Phil has never been into wrestling. But as soon as we walked in, he was like, I'm into this already.
I'm so glad. I knew that he would be a good person to go with you. I'm glad he was available. Yeah.
Phil is my best friend from high school. He is also a gay man. So I was like, well, I bet I can convince him to go to wrestling and be like, there's some hot dudes in underpants, basically. He enjoyed it as a fan, but he also took a lot of photos and he sent them to like a mass text of friends. And then after the show, which was at the Logan Square Auditorium, we went to the gay bar Sidetracks and all of his friends were like,
perfect.
Did you take him to a wrestling show? And I was like, yeah. And they were like, yeah, we kept getting pictures. And they like asked questions and stuff. And I was like, yeah, that's what we did. I took Phil to, but Phil had a really good time and I think that he'd want to go again. So
cool.
That's good.
Excellent. Phil's fun. Yeah. I like Phil.
He's very fun. I don't know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's a good friend, I guess. I don't know why we're touting, like, Phil. Nobody knows Phil.
Whatever.
Phil does not listen to this podcast.
That's for sure. So how was the show? Tell me all about it. I have to live vicariously through you now.
It was really good. It started, like, a half hour early, which I'm glad I was there. And most people were there, so it was fine.
Right.
It opened with the women's Fatal 4-Way, which is the whole reason I bought a ticket, anyway,
right,
in the first place. But it was Candice LeRae, Kimberly, Jessica Havoc, and Heidi Lovelace. It was really good.
Yeah.
It was super good. It was really fun. Havoc won.
Oh, cool.
Which is like, I think that totally works because the three other girls are like tweeners or total baby faces.
Yeah.
And Havoc was the only like true heel in there and it was like a good, but it was a great match. It was super fun. It was a great way to open the show.
Hi, boo-boo. I don't want to cuddle you. You cuddle dad.
And then it was followed by Johnny Gargano versus a guy that I never seen before, and I can't remember his name. I think it was like Everett something. I didn't take notes because I was watching.
Right.
He was really good. It was like kind of like half of a comedy match, half of like a real wrestling match.
Mm-hmm.
Phil loved Johnny Gargano. He was like, who is this guy?
And very like, handsome.
Well, that's Johnny Gargano. It was also fun to take Phil because I got to be like, okay, when somebody hits somebody's chest, that's called a chop, and the whole audience is going to go, woo. So if you want, you can do that. And like I had to talk, I was like, okay, bad guys are called heels. This guy's bad. bad. So even though, like, we like him, we boo him. Or, like, for Jessica Havoc, I was like, she's bad, so she wants, we boo, but she's great, so, like, we like to boo her.
Right.
It's not like a boo, like, a Roman Reigns boo, where we're like, we're booing you because we despise you.
Right, exactly.
And then there were some tag matches from, I think, okay, just come up then. From their more company-based, the hooligans and stuff.
The guys in the overalls?
What? Yeah.
Okay, they wrestled against Colt Cabana and his tag team at the show that I saw. Okay. So I have seen those guys.
Well, they lost their titles.
Oh, well, good. Fuck those guys.
But it was a good match, and, like, there was just, like, you know, anytime, not anytime, but, like, if you go to an independent wrestling show that you don't know or aren't familiar with, there's going to be, like, indie stars that you know that you went there for, but then there's going to be, like, more local or smaller people that you don't know, but it's fun to watch them.
Freelance is, like,
totally the same way.
Yeah, exactly.
There, it was just a little weird because there was a bunch of stuff like that back to back, and I was like, I wish it would have been, like, people that we know that you know, and maybe people that you don't know. Yeah. I wish it would have been a little bit more even that way. The match is still the show for me, and I think for most people, was Chris Hero versus Trevor Lee. It was, like, the match I didn't know that I needed. It was so good. It was funny. It was fast. It was, like, high-flying. It was brutal. It was, like, it was kind of, like, a perfect match. It was so good.
Jealous.
It was so good.
I'm jealous.
Also, it's insane that Trevor Lee is 22. Like, barring, like, a crazy accident, like, he's going to be around for a really long time, and, like, the wrestling industry, it will benefit from that. He's the X Division champion in TNA. It was cool to see his, like, he uses the same name and kind of the same persona, but it's, like, different. It's like, Kimberly and Chikara is a different character than when she wrestles other places. Like, it's still, the core of her is Kimberly, but there's, like, different nuances to her character at different places. But that match was amazing.
I really like Chris Hero. Like, he's, I like that he's put on a lot of weight and still moves so fast. Like,
oh, yeah.
He's so good.
Brutal.
I love it. It's great.
It was really, really good. There was one match that made me, like, really uncomfortable. I don't know. I mean, I know why it made me uncomfortable. Also, like, this audience was a wrestling audience. Like, there was a bunch of people who were there to have fun and have a good time, but there was, you know, eight guys that were making it hard. Like, it was fine for a while, and then it was just, like, just shut. Like, to the point where, like, when people were delivering promos, they, like, broke kayfabe to be like, stop.
Ugh, that's so annoying. You're ruining this.
Like, it's fun to do a back and forth for, like, a couple times, but, like, you're actually ruining this.
Right. You are not the focus of this show.
Right. Also, me and Phil were standing next to, like, a straight-up fucking, like, prop comedian. Like, you know the guy who thinks that he's really funny, but he's, like, not funny? But it's not, like, you're not funny, you're a douche. It's, like, you're not funny, this is sad.
Ugh.
We were next to that guy.
Uncomfortable.
Like, he had, like, a deodorant stick that he would hold out, and he had a pad of paper that he would write different signs on, and he kept trying to get failed chants going. It was, or he would yell things like the smart marks in the audience were being a dick to this one ref, Andy, which I guess must be a running AAW thing. And then this non-funny prop comedian guy would be like, I like you, Andy, you're an okay dude. But like in a weird, it was just weird. And I was like sandwiched between the like smart marks and this weird guy.
Oh, Jesus.
But so preface for, so there's this match that made me kind of uncomfortable. So there's a wrestler, an independent wrestler who has cerebral palsy, whose name's Gregory Irons, I believe, and they call him the Iron Curtain. He's a full-on heel, and he also obviously knows that he has cerebral palsy, and he chose to do this, and, like, whatever, like, especially if you're a heel, you're gonna get some assholes who are, like, making fun of your disability or whatever.
Right.
That is weird, but it's also, like, a choice, and, like, whatever. That makes sense.
Agency. That's what's
agency.
Important.
And it makes sense. But he came out, and this one guy, the most bro-y guy, was just giving him, like, a bunch of shit. And then the end curtain said something about, like, oh, I might be handicapped, but I have a bigger dick than you when you go home to your boyfriend or something. So, like, then the end curtain said, like, a homophobic thing. And then, and, like, a bunch of the audience were just making fun of his handicap. And I was like, okay, I'm uncomfortable by this, but, like, I understand, I guess.
Yeah.
And then he was, like, he did the open challenge thing. Like, who's going to come from the back? And this guy came who had wrestled earlier. It made me uncomfortable earlier, but I was like, eh, whatever. So his name's Congo, and he's from the deepest, darkest parts of Africa.
I saw him wrestle Moose at the show I went to. I get it.
He is black, but he is, it's like weirdly appropriating or almost making fun of like a awful stereotype about like natives in Africa.
Yeah.
So that was weird. And then they, so it was like a lot going on. And then they had this match and it was kind of a squash match. But the way that the match ended was by Congo pulling down the Iron Curtain's like wrestling shorts.
Mm-hmm.
So his ass was exposed, but it wasn't in like a comedic, oh my God, what's happening way that like when Grado and Eli Drake wrestled, it was
right,
like,
right.
Oh no, no, what's happening? And like, it was like, I'm sexually humiliating you and shaming you. And then it ended in like a weird move that was almost kind of rapey. And then he scrambled to the back with his ass hanging out. And like, he kept like running into people. And like, the audience freaked out because it's like a man's butt who they don't know. But it was also like the worst thing that could happen to this person is to like accidentally touch another man's butt type thing.
Yeah.
It was like just the weirdest vibe of a match. And I was like, it was a match right, I think right before the main event, which was Zack Sabre and Ciampa. I listened to the way he said it and I was like,
yes, thank you. It is not the same as the way that it is pronounced on NXT.
No, they said Ciampa?
Ciampa?
I'm trying to like pronounce it correctly, but everyone says it differently.
Everyone says it
it's
differently.
It's not Ciampo, no matter what.
I know.
You're the one, but.
I know.
Everyone says it differently, so I'm a little like, I'm trying to pronounce it right because it's your name. Anyways, it's just a weird match.
Tomato ciabatta. That's what we can just call it that.
There was like so much going on that made me uncomfortable. And like some of it, I was like, okay, it's making me uncomfortable, but in like an okay, like pushing boundaries ways. And then some of it was like, this is uncomfortable because it's wrong. Yeah. And it was weird because this is the same crowd that was like in the beginning was chanting like women's wrestling and like, so, you know, there's like this weird trifecta of like sexism and racism and like making fun of like the disabled. And it's like, we were totally great with the women, but like pretty racist, homophobic and making fun of like the disabled. And I was like, okay.
Baby steps, I guess.
Yeah. And I mean, I think maybe I was a little too sensitive at some parts of it, which I totally understand, but like the whole thing altogether, I was like, there's just so much happening that I'm like, ah. And then I talked to Bobby about it, and I think, I guess the Iron Curtain, Gregor Irons, I keep calling him Jeremy Irons. His name is not Jeremy Irons.
if only.
Right? I guess he also had a storyline in another independent wrestling show that was very like stalkery and rapey, and he was like, yeah, he's had some questionable storylines.
Oh my God.
And so that was like, okay, because I liked his heel promo and I was like, oh, I kind of dig this guy. And then I was like, there's so much going on that's making me like kind of queasy. Also, like, it was, there were some points because like crowds can be homophobic and like Phil is like the most non-fussed person about that type of stuff. At parts I was like, oh, I'm sorry. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Ooh, I'm sorry. And he's like, I'm fine. I'm like, I know you're fine, but I like brought you to a place that can be sometimes like homophobic while you're a gay man. And I just wanted you to know that I'm apologizing for that.
Like,
and
I recognize that this is happening.
Yeah, it'd be like, you know, well, it'd be like him taking me to sidetracks in a different way. But like, I also know how to navigate that situation.
Yeah.
So that was weird. The main event with Tommaso Ciampa, and which is, I think, how you pronounce it, and Zack Sabre Jr. was really, really good. It was cool because they're both, like, heavy hitter, like, brawler, submission-y mm-hmm. types. Like, it's not flips and stuff like that. It built really well. It was really brutal. Zack Sabre Jr. did a bunch of, like, old-school stuff and, like, Greco-Roman stuff that I hadn't seen in, like, a ring.
Mm-hmm.
In, like, a entertainment wrestling ring. It was really cool. The crowd was, like, a little feisty by that time, but they, those two guys are so over that it like worked, I guess.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And basically, I feel like whenever Ciampa was pissed at the audience, he literally would just throw Zack Sabre Jr. into the audience and be like, move, I guess. I don't know. Fuck you guys. so that was kind of funny. But it was really good. I really want to go to the next one. I know you're out of town, and Bobby's, yeah. or no, not Bobby, but Phil's out of town. So I think I'm going to go with Bobby.
Okay. Awesome.
Because I want to see Pentagon Jr.
Yeah.
and Phoenix. Cole Cabana's going to be there too.
Cole Cabana.
Speaking of which, you're wearing a Cole Cabana shirt.
I am wearing the Cole Cabana shirt I bought at the AAW show, actually.
Ah, yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I am not wearing a wrestling shirt because I'm wearing my dumb uniform for my dumb job, but I did a burlesque show on Sunday that was my CM Punk number, and I wore my Breamote shirt. So
nailed it.
That kind of counts.
Mm-hmm. I guess. Also wore my Dean Ambrose shirt to the gym, so that's two shirts between us today.
Mm-hmm. Raymond. I have to do it once an episode. I'm contractually obligated.
Obligated
by the Bellas. I I don't know what's wrong with me. I was brainstorming new burlesque numbers because somebody, the Red Rum, the person who runs the burlesque show, that the wrestling burlesque show, was like, we're doing it again. I was like, okay, I have all these ideas. I think I want to do a DX number with like three people, but I kind of want to do a number where I'm like dressed as all the different women superstars and like switch just their music and I change into their affectation. But I really want to just do a number as Brie Bella really drunk.
I think that's the one that you should do.
Want to get one of those wine bras? You sip wine when doing the yes chant. And then just have Bobby as Daniel Bryan come out and be very disappointed and just drag me off stage. While I'm yelling things.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, all of that.
I just want to do it all. I want to do it all.
Like, the only time I ever want to do a burlesque number is if it would be a wrestling one. But I just don't know who I would do. Edge.
Well, you would be in my DX number. You would be Shawn Michaels.
Hell yeah!
And I would be Triple H, and Bobby would be Chyna, which I know is problematic, but it would still be funny, so just, like, let it go.
Deal with it.
Sometimes we can just be funny, being, like, okay.
Yep. And also, you know, fuck Xbox. Who needs that bullshit around?
Yeah, we wouldn't have them.
Absolutely not.
Fuck Xbox. Fuck that guy.
Are you gonna get into some news?
Yeah, I guess.
Chris is awesome. He's as hot as it get. The type to drop you quick with a mafia kick. Got the hunger of a young lion, plus the eye of the tiger. Pummel you like he's a young Tyson. That young knockout kid, split your wig. Rivera Cloverleaf.
When you snap like I didn't write down anything.
Just a couple of things. One, John Cena has also pledged to donate his brain after he dies, which is
I did see that.
Really awesome. Exciting. And like that means a lot of things because he's the leader of the locker room, and like that's a huge demonstration on his part that this is a thing that people should be doing, and hopefully other people in the WWE will also follow this like wave of pledges. So that was really exciting. I was really glad to see that.
That's super cool.
Yeah. John Cena seems like a pretty legit dude in a lot of ways. Like, I'm sure he's problematic in many ways, but like seems like a pretty all right dude. So
yeah, I like him.
Yeah, I would agree. Also, Cody Rhodes and Tommaso Ciampa have...
Tommaso Ciampa,
yeah,
I think.
That. Started a charity that is honoring Chris Travis, who was an independent wrestler who passed away from stomach cancer last week, the week before that.
Yikes.
Yeah, he was only like 27.
Ah!
Yeah, it was pretty fucked up. Cody Rhodes tweeted today about it on his non-Stardust account, his like actual Twitter. He was like, I just want to put it out there. I never met him, but the way that he has affected so many people around me, I want to be able to give back. And so they're doing...
Why are the roads the best?
I know. So they're doing like a t-shirt where all 100% of the proceeds go to this charity to fund research for cancer. So that's pretty amazing. Ciampa?
I think it's Ciampa.
Ciampa. Tommaso. I can say that.
Yeah, you can say Tommaso. I think in NXT they say Ciampa.
Yeah.
Maybe it's the other way.
They say Baylor's name wrong, though.
Oh, my God. It's so... In my head, I was like, I'm going to remember the way that he said it.
That's what I thought when I saw it, too, and then nope. Still got it wrong.
Nope.
Tommaso.
Tommaso. You know, good old Tommaso.
Tommaso. Seems like a really legit dude, because he also does that,
also,
like...
Also, super hot.
So hot. So hot. Oh, God.
I was like, oh, hi.
Can you see why I very drunkenly had that
We've
super...
We've seen him live before, too, though.
Yeah, but, like... Can you see why I had that super awkward interaction with him last time when I was like this close to him? It was just like,
I forgot about that.
You're so handsome and I'm so drunk and this is so weird.
Good job. I'm going to stand next to you for a little bit.
Because I literally can't move away from you. It's super awkward. but he just seems like a good dude because he does that every month. The independent wrestlers pick a new cause or charity too.
Yes.
So he just seems like
that's so cool.
A super legit dude.
What is him and Gargano, what is their deal with NXT?
They have a contract that allows them to work independent dates. It's the same contract that Joe signed originally, and now Joe has a different contract that no longer allows him to work indies. But, I mean, it basically means that Gargano and Tommaso will probably never hold belts in NXT, which is fine. Like, that's, like, the perfect thing for them, and they can have higher asking prices everywhere else. Like, it works out really well, and, like, it drives more indie traffic to NXT because they're out talking
about
NXT.
It also seems like AEW and that British place that...
Evolve?
Yeah.
There's another British one that they're doing stuff
with.
The
British one that...
Revolution.
Zack Sabre is with. PWI?
PWG?
Nope, PWG is in the States.
Oh, that's right. That's on the West Coast.
Ooh.
I don't know.
Seems like they're team players is what I'm trying to say.
Yes. Very much so. and then I just had one other thing. I wanted to... I don't know if you've ever heard of Larry Sweeney. He was an independent wrestler. He committed suicide 5 years ago yesterday. I know about him because he and Michael lived together for a while. Whoa. And were, like, good friends.
Good friends.
Yeah. He was bipolar and committed suicide 5 years ago. And it was really beautiful to see on Twitter all of the people who were remembering him and the legacy that he left behind, but also talking very frankly about mental illness and the way that we treat it. And so if you guys don't know who Larry Sweeney is, I would recommend looking him up. He has a really hilarious arm wrestling match with a little kid that kind of, that Kenny Omega fight reminded me of a lot.
That and, badass girl.
Yeah, and Larry Sweeney was just really charming and really loved pro wrestling and really cared about it. And I think that it is important to mark a tragic moment and to remember him really fondly from that. So you guys should look up Larry Sweeney's stuff and enjoy it and reach out to people in your life who might need help. That is the one thing that everyone said, that when they saw him going through his manic depressive break, that people saw him and didn't offer him help because they were scared. And like, and now everyone regrets that. And so I think that this is an important time to think about the people in your life and the struggles that they might be going through, and that it does matter to reach out to people.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, I just wanted to touch on that.
Aw, yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's talk about some wrestling.
Okay, TNA New Japan section, I guess.
Yeah.
Let's start with New Japan.
All right. So, full disclosure, I have been very busy, and so did not watch a single match of the J-Cup, so sorry about it. We haven't talked about New Japan in a really long time.
That's okay. We haven't watched... I haven't watched ROH in a long time because I'm so busy.
Yeah.
I barely... Like, you came over and I was like, I gotta watch this last match. Like, yeah.
I crammed Lucha in on my work break today, so, like, I get it. I understand. I'm going to the New Japan Ring of Honor show next month, and I have not watched Ring of Honor in, like, months. So, that'll be fun.
With your other friend.
Whatever. I know. I need to start branching out with my live wrestling people and not taking acid beforehand. I learned. I learned my lesson. Okay, so anyway, so New Japan has been doing their Invasion series, and Invasion Attack was the other day. There were a couple of matches that I wanted to talk about. Kushida, the one who wears the Marty McFly outfit that was part of the Time Splitters.
I like him.
Yeah. He and Osprey. Matt, I think, is his first name. He's another independent wrestler. I don't think that he's with New Japan all the time. They had a really fucking good match that I think that you would really enjoy. So I'll try and find it and send it to you.
Yes,
it
please.
It was, like, really high-flying and really fast-paced, and Osprey did this standing shooting star press into, like, a Phoenix flip. That's what it was. So he did a standing shooting star press into a Phoenix flip off the ropes onto Kushida, and it was fucking incredible. It was, like, the coolest thing I've ever seen. I saw it from, like, three different angles after the pay-per-view went up, too. I think you'd really enjoy it, so I'm gonna send that one to you. Nick Jackson from the Young Bucks called out CM Punk while he was doing his pose at the beginning, and I was like, what the fuck is going on here?
Nick is the hot one?
The
darker-haired one with the big chops is the hot one.
That's Matt.
Okay, Matt's the hot
one. I only remember because he sort of looks like Matt Hardy and they have the same name.
Ew, no.
The dark hair and the stature is what reminds me of him.
Matt Hardy is not attractive.
Oh, no, no. Matt Hardy has, like, a doe face, and Matt Jackson is actually quite attractive.
Doe body.
Yeah. Dad bod, for sure.
King of the dad bods, Matt Hardy.
And Omega called out New Day again, because obviously...
What do you mean he called out CM Punk?
It was like... Do you like what you see, CM Punk, or something like that? It was really weird. It was like a casual thing. It was clearly meant to just rile up the people who could speak English and who knew who CM Punk was. It was just like this really weird moment. It made me think of you. I was like, all right, Young Bucks, CM Punk, I don't know what's happening here, but I'm down for whatever happens,
I mean,
guess.
They're really, like, fun and silly on Twitter. Like, when Barrett got kicked out of the Bullet Club, one of the Young Bucks tweeted at him, like, we would never do that to you, Barrett.
Yes.
Like, they mess around and they pay attention.
Yeah, that's true. And they love wrestling.
Maybe they feud with CM Punk. I don't know.
That'd be awesome.
I mean, not as like a wrestling thing, as like a Twitter thing.
Or... Yeah, that would be super fun. Cody Hall, Scott Hall's son, took a fucking nasty bump from Matt Jackson. They went down into the hallway where the entrances were made, and Matt Jackson got up on top in like a Jeff Hardy style and did this like dive onto all of them. He landed on Cody Hall's head so fucking hard. His neck was like 90-degree angle. Ah. And they just fell to the ground, and everyone, like, scurried out of the hallway really fast, but you could tell everyone who was there was, like, checking on him and then, like, got out as fast as he could. He went to the hospital. I think he's all right. I haven't heard anything else, so I don't know.
Nuts.
But, yeah, it was brutal looking. Super, super brutal. And Matt Jackson tweeted about it later and was like, yeah, this is dangerous. Like, you hurt people that you don't mean to because wrestling is fucking dangerous.
Right.
Like, totally drove that home. My favorite, Naito, the one who takes his suit off super slowly.
Yeah.
He and Okada fought for the main title.
Okada is the one with the money.
Yes. Who has the super...
I'm learning.
Yeah, so you're getting it. We'll learn their names together. they had a match for the title, and it was really, really good. Really, really good. Mm. I think that you would also really like that. And Naito won the title, which I was not expecting.
Wow.
Yeah, I thought Okada was going to keep it for a while because it took him a long time to get it from Tanahashi. And it was a great match. And I also really like that they're pushing Naito now because he's good. And like there's this vacuum that they need to fill after all this talent left. I'm glad that they are. I like his faction, the Los Ignorables, better than I like the Bullet Club right now. They're really good. And like
the Elite.
Yes, better than the Elite. Like, they just have
really good... I don't even watch.
I mean, the Elite is a subgroup of the Bullet Club, as Wrigleyville is a sub-neighborhood of Lakeview or whatever, however bullshit that's quantified.
I think Wrigleyville is its own neighborhood.
I'm pretty sure it's a sub-neighborhood.
Don't care.
Whatever. Anyway, unimportant. But yeah, it was a really good show. I really enjoyed it. And I'll send you those matches. But yeah, New Japan, still good, everybody. Still really great. When you can, you should be watching it. If you're tired of everything else, watch New Japan. I watched... Michael was like, we can watch it with the Japanese commentary or the English commentary. And I was like, who the fuck wants to watch the English commentary? We're obviously going to watch this in Japanese. Duh. Obviously.
Duh.
So, I would also recommend doing that if you can handle it. If you can't, it is available in English. I'll try to find the English commentary for you, since I know that you find that distracting.
Well, it's just that, like, I know this sounds weird, but, like, I can't focus on one thing all the time. And mm-hmm. so when something is in a different language, like a foreign movie or something, you really have to focus, which is fine. But it's hard to watch, like, 3 hours of wrestling and just focus, focus, focus. So the commentary is helpful to kind of, like, still get the vibe if you, like, turn away and check your phone for 5 minutes or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the part, I think, that throws me about the commentary. Not that it's in Japanese, it just, like, throws my flow.
Right, yeah. Because you, like, listen for key things.
Right.
And it's harder to pick that up. Like, I've gotten used to it to a point where I can just listen for, like, the way that their voices sound and, like, the emotion.
Yeah, that makes sense if you watch it a lot.
Yeah, but, like, you have to get used to that, too. So that can also be difficult.
Speaking of still good and you should watch it, TNA.
Yeah!
This episode was really good. I didn't take notes because sometimes I forget that I have to do that. So it opened in a way. I don't remember how it opened. That's terrible. I remember, like, all the matches, though. So the big thing at the end... Oh, I remember how it opened. Duh. Duh. So the theme of this week was revenge.
Oh, great.
And it opened with a cage match with Matt Hardy, Jeff Hardy and EY. It was pretty brutal. It was good. Jeff Hardy went over, which makes sense. EY is leaving. And also, like, this was, like, the final straw in, like, a feud where EY was, like, beating the shit out of Jeff Hardy. In a Kevin Owens way where he would come out and just, like, fuck him up and leave.
Yeah.
And this was like, we're having a match now and I'm going to win. It was good. It was really good. We had Bobby Lashley versus the Pope.
Yes.
Bobby Lashley beat the shit out of him and it was great.
Satisfying.
So good. The Pope got in like a couple, like a kendo stick because it was like a no disqualification street fight thing. But it ended with a nasty spear. Like a nasty, like, it flipped him on his head spear. And I was like, ooh, okay, like, I don't like you, but, like, I do hope you're alive, I guess.
Yeah, fair.
But I don't know if this means that he's going to be a wrestler or if he's going to go back to commentary. It's been 4 years, I guess, since he's wrestled. I would way prefer him on wrestling than commentary. It was Jeremy Borash and Josh Matthews on commentary. I like Borash. Josh Matthews is boring as fuck, but, like, it's better than being, like, inflammatory, I guess.
Yeah.
Gail Kim and Dixie Carter and Maria Kanellis had a funny, like, backstage segment moment where Dixie was like, who is giving you guys the authority to make these matches and set number one contenders? And they were like, or Maria was like, you know, her name was, or maybe it was, and Dixie was like, yeah, I'm sure, Gail. And she was like, the same person, essentially. So Gail had to face both the number one contenders, and she lost to Jade.
Ooh.
Which is cool.
Cool.
She lost because Maria interfered and, like, hit Gail with the belt on her hip or something, like, when she was, like, about to climb up to do, like, a moonsault, and she hit her really hard in the hip. And then Jade won, which is cool. Like, I think that it's a good mix-up, and, you know, Gail's had the belt for so long and for forever, and I understand why, but, like,
yeah,
it's time to mix it up.
Yeah, it's time to put over their other talent.
Right.
Because Gail has to leave at some point, and,
right,
like, you don't want to leave with just a roster full of women that everyone's like, wait,
who are we talking about? Along, it gives somebody else the belt, but it also furthers along the Gail versus Maria Kanellis stuff, so that's good. Ethan Carter III and Mike Bennett had, like, a great back-and-forth promo-to-promo, and I was just like, oh, my God. And then it, like, spilled out into a huge fight. So, basically, Ethan Carter III was like, I'm sick of this motherfucker getting in my shit, getting in my business. And Mike Bennett was like, I'm sorry, do you think that I, like, even care about you? Like, I think that you're a hack. When I walked into this company, you were the champion. Now, you don't even matter. And they just went, like, back and forth, and then EC3 was like, I'm gonna kick your ass, and then Mike Bennett was like, I'm not getting in that ring until next week when I feel like it, and then EC3 was like, I'm gonna beat your ass right now then, so they, like, beat each other up in a parking lot. It was great.
Legit.
It was really good. I am really excited about this feud.
Cool. They feud tonight, right?
Yes, they feud tonight.
Okay.
What else? The tag team thing is kind of weird. So the leader of the X Division is some guy that I don't know, but I guess is, like, a big deal. And he was like, hey, Eddie Edwards, your partner is out hurt. Why don't we tag together? And I'll lead the X Division and the tag division. And Eddie Edwards was like, go fuck yourself, I guess. Trevor Lee, like I said, is the X Division champion. But, like, I feel like they're rebuilding the X Division and they're rebuilding the tag division right now. Because they have a pretty strong women's division, and they have, like, a really strong men's singles division.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The men's singles division is definitely their strongest. Then Beer Money came out and was like, get out of here. You look like a booger, because that one guy wears the guy that I don't know, but that everyone knows. Shane Helms is his name?
Oh, Shane Helms. Okay.
Yeah. But I'm
unaware. I know who that is.
But he wears, like, a bright green jacket, and they were like, you look like a booger. Get out of here, you booger.
He does look like a booger.
But then Decay came out and was like, we're going to kill you, basically. So I think they're setting up a big feud between Beer Money and the Decay, which I think maybe will be when the Decay wins, and then that's how Bobby Roode is like, that's my final match, bye. And then it ended with, oh, the thing that I forgot because I don't even care, Tyrus was like, everyone forgets, but I'm the number one contender, I'm gonna fuck your guys' your matchup, because it was Drew Galloway versus Matt Hardy for the championship, and then he didn't even do anything. But there was this excellent backstage promo with EC3 and Tyrus. So Tyrus basically goes up to EC3 in the back, and they have, like, a little back and forth of, like, oh, so you're switching, you're turning on the Matt Hardy brand, and they just have, like, this weird back and forth, and Tyrus walks away and then walks back and goes, I hate you. And EC3 goes, I hate you too, in, like, a little sing-song voice, and they just had, like, weird, fun chemistry. I don't like Tyrus, mostly in a non-kayfabe way, where he said some not cool things about Black Lives Matter and stuff like that, and I was like, ugh, really, dude?
Yeah.
He's one of those people that was, like, kind of like a basically an old school Bill Cosby, like, pull your pants up, get some respect for yourself type of way. And I was like, oh, it's really cool for you to say that when you have a bunch of money in the bank and a big, you know, gold necklace around your neck and, like, had job security and all this stuff. Like, it's harder for other people. And you, as a person of color, should probably know that. So I don't know. It's weird that you're on Fox News right now, Tyrus.
Yeah, seriously.
You're a wrestler. Shut your mouth.
Yeah. He also knocked Neville's teeth out. So, you know.
Problematic.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So, I don't like him in, like, a non-kayfabe way, but I don't actually really like this, like, bruiser character. I liked him better when he was just, like, a dancing dinosaur.
Yeah.
Also, that song, I miss Funk Is On A Roll. It's on my playlist. I listen to it.
It's a great song.
And then it ended with Drew Galloway and Matt Hardy wrestling for the championship, which was really good. I love Drew Galloway. I think he's a great wrestler. I think he's, like, in my head, like, a less annoying John Cena, and that, like, he's kind of, like, such a hardcore babyface, and is kind of corny sometimes, but, like, is a good wrestler. And is
he's
a good champion.
Good,
yeah, he's also very good looking. I want to make out with him really hard.
Oh, yeah.
But also, he's, like, a good champion for TNA. He's a good ambassador for TNA.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a really good match. Matt Hardy lost. And then tonight, Matt Hardy and Jeff Hardy are wrestling, like, I don't know.
All right.
Brothers Revenge or something. I don't know. It was a really solid episode.
Yeah. TNA has been good lately.
Yeah.
Everybody hates on it, but it's been good.
I hate when I see news reports that are like, TNA's ratings drop. Guess whose ratings drop every fucking week almost, except for right now because it's like the mania hype. And because Raw was good this week. But like, Raw's numbers are like shit all the time.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean anything. I mean, it does mean stuff, but like, I just feel like the articles sometimes are like, ugh, TNA's going under again. But like, the product has been really good.
The product has been really good. I'm worried about their money stream.
I mean... TV has been really good to them, and they promote shit like crazy, their camera stuff has gotten better. Like, I feel like it's going okay, and
they just got evicted from their office building.
Oh, but I didn't know that.
Yeah, everything is all now in their warehouse. That's where, like, everything is, and they're, like, trying to find a new venue for the Florida tapings, or the Orlando tapings. The problem is that, like, the product itself is getting better, but the business behind it is still terrible, because it's still Dixie. She refuses to give up more than... She wants 51% control of the company and refuses to give up anything more than that. But no one will buy from her because they know that if she has majority control, that she'll just run it into the ground again. And so I understand the hesitancy of it. And
that's fair.
But I hope that she comes around. Yeah, because the show is good. And I think she really does believe in her product and her wrestlers. She has to come to terms with the fact that she cannot be in complete control
anymore. She's not good at business.
She's just not. And like that, it's sad because you're right. It is a really good show and it has been getting better technically in a lot of ways. And it's just unfortunate that bad business seemed to really be holding this company back.
Yeah, that's fair. Want to talk about Raw?
Yeah, let's do it.
You didn't watch SmackDown, but I did. It was really good.
Yeah, I heard it was really good.
Highlights, AJ Styles kept saying heck a lot, but he also said Rawl instead of Raw because he's Southern. And I was like, you just said Rawl. Okay, you're Southern. I like it. Lucha versus Vaudevillians. It was a really good match.
Yeah.
The crowd was like a little waffly because like, I mean, the Vaudevillians. I just want to say the actual word a lot of the times. The Vaudevillians have such a specific and non-user-friendly gimmick in many ways that I understand that it's going to be hard for them. Just like Tyler Breeze doesn't have a very non-user-friendly gimmick, I feel like.
Yeah.
But I feel like their gimmick is, they're so good and they were given a chance to shine.
Mm-hmm.
They put on a really good match and their gimmick is cheesy enough that like it might help get them over legitimately as heels.
Yeah, I think it was a really smart decision to turn them heel because I feel like there's that urge from the main roster crowd to boo and act like that because it's very gimmicky.
Right.
But you're supposed to boo them. And so it like works and then they like feed off of that and like they have good crowd psychology. They're both really good wrestlers. Absolutely. So I think that it was at the time that they turned them heel,
and
I was like,
enough
I don't like get
people
it.
People in the crowd that were over for them that like it was definitely not like a boo, you suck, what the fuck is happening? It was just like a little waffly for a debut. Mm-hmm. Which it also makes sense that they debuted on SmackDown so that they didn't have a waffly like entrance on a Raw.
Right, exactly.
Ronaldo was like crushing it on commentary. He kept using a bunch of Victorian jiu-jitsu and stuff terms and being like, oh, Batistu, I'm making words up, I don't know anything, but like Victorian fighting styles to describe them, like, oh, it in English is a master and this, that, and the other thing, which he might be because he went to school for like fight combat stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He went to like Columbia College in Chicago.
Right.
So he could be like really into that stuff, but King was doing his like, you know, normal, like, I don't know anything because I'm the King, I've never read a book. And Ronaldo literally was like, have you ever read Sherlock Holmes? If you had, it would have been in there. And he kept dropping, like, all of these, like, kind of, like, smarty pants references. And King was like, duh.
Ugh, beast of my heart.
It was great. But he didn't do it in, like, a, I'm smarter than you way. He was just like, this is how I talk. These are the references I make.
I love it.
Which I loved.
The best.
Natty wrestled Summer. They got, like, a pretty good length match.
I saw that stare down that she did at the end with Charlotte. I liked that a lot.
Yeah. Then Charlotte was great on commentary, and Rick didn't talk at all, which was also great. Miz vs. Ryder was so good. It was great. I loved it. Miz won, obviously.
Obviously.
I'm a little worried about Zack Ryder now, because Cesaro is now number one contender, and
he
wasn't on Raw at all, so I'm, like, a little fussed.
Is he going back to NXT?
I don't know. I'm, like, a little fussed. I don't know. So, whatever. The Social Oscar... I wrote, the Social Outcasts wish they were New Day. That's just like...
Yeah, they do.
They just wish that they were New Day.
Absolutely, they do.
Period. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think we really have to talk about them ever again. Like, that's their gimmick. They did it. They suck at it. I don't know. I like a lot of them individually. I really hate them as a faction.
I do also, not I like Heath Slater. I don't like him at all. He totally brings that group down. I hate that he is supposed to be the leader. It's bad. Anyone else I would be happy with.
Right. Ugh. They're setting up like an Emma and Becky feud.
Yes.
You're not into it? Oh, your face kind of went like dead for a second. And I was like, do you not like this?
No.
Yes, I'm really into it. And Becky's shiner. Whew. When did that happen? What move was that?
I don't know. It happened pretty early in that match because I noticed it and I thought it was just makeup all over her face. But like her eye was fucked up.
Yeah. And then the main event was oh my god, who was it? All I wrote was more main events like this, please.
I don't even remember.
I don't even know, but it was really good, apparently.
Was Dean Ambrose in it? Was it?
No.
AJ Styles? No, that was earlier.
It was AJ Styles.
Was it? Okay.
I think. Whatever, fuck it.
Kevin Owens?
SmackDown was good.
Okay, whatever.
The main event was great. Whatever it was. That's what my note says. I watched Raw today. You watched it yesterday.
Yes.
What did you think about Raw? I thought overall it was really good.
I really enjoyed it. I didn't take a lot of notes because I was actually paying attention most of the time, which was really nice. I thought that... I do not understand why Shane is running Raw. Storyline's going to die.
Storyline is done. Social media liked it. Since when does WWE care about what social media wants?
Right? Like, okay.
Overwhelming outcry.
Why did Shane have to jump off of this fucking 30-foot structure if we could have just tweeted that we wanted him to take over? Like, it just doesn't... Whatever. I was happy to see him. He looked fly as fuck. That vest was super nice.
Yeah, he looked great.
Yeah. And I like, too, that they, like, made more of a point this week to show how he was in charge. Where,
right.
Like, last week it was kind of like...
He's calling the shots from behind the scenes.
Right. And then this week it was like, no, I am here and I am doing this. And I'm, like, making it known that I'm the one who is bringing these people up and who is making these changes. So I really enjoyed that. I thought that it was smart to open with Kevin Owens and Cesaro. Cesaro, tearaway game strong still.
I know. I loved how Kevin Owens came out and had, like, a talking, like, fight with Shane, too. Like, they had a great back and forth.
Yeah, they have really good chemistry together. And, like, Kevin Owens every time is just so good.
So good.
Cesaro was great. I love that that's just his entrance now. He just has this fucking sweet-ass tearaway suit. Like... comes out and does the one button, undoes the cuffs, and then is like, goodbye!
Fuck you, Sue!
Oh, so good. And they had a great match. It was a great match to open with. Cesaro did that springboard spinning corkscrew thing.
The uppercut.
Yeah, I like shit my pants. It was so cool.
He used to do that.
It's perfect. It's so perfect.
He's perfect.
Like, he is perfect. Everyone loves Cesaro. I don't know anyone who doesn't like him. I love his new shirt. I obviously want it. It's so on brand for me. It's Cesaro. It's red, and it's a really sleek design. Like, obviously, I need this in my life, so... Gotta earn it, I guess.
Gotta earn that shirt. I like that they're setting up the tag team tournament. It gives, like, the tag team, like, a little bit of a push, which it is definitely needed. I also like that the League of Nations and the Wyatts are not a part of it.
I agree.
It's just, like... actual tag teams.
Yeah.
Except for the Social Outcasts, but whatever.
Whatever.
Who cares?
They're their own thing. And I also like, too, that it means we won't see New Day wrestle for a while.
Right.
And I think that's really smart. Like, save them, let them recover a little bit.
Agreed.
Like, they have been wrestling like fucking crazy, so, like, give them a little bit of rest time, let them be on air and be funny and, like, build their characters as babyfaces through their promos, and then when they get in the ring and do the, like... smarmy babyface sort of heel wink nod stuff, it's a little more acceptable.
Right.
And it's not like, oh, it's happening every single week.
Right. So it was the Dudleys versus the Lucha Dragons.
Yes.
The Dudleys won, and we're like, we're the Dudleys, fuck you. But then Enzo and Cass came out, and what was the line that Enzo said? Where he was like, you're here because of us. And Enzo goes,
I exist
because my mom and dad got it out.
How you doing?
Just the like nonchalant, like, hey, that's how you doing?
I said that so like, good. 15 times to myself today at work. I was just like walking around thinking about that, like giggling. So perfect.
So good. And their back and forth is great. And I love that even though Enzo and Cass didn't wrestle, that they still had a spot on Raw because they're wrestling The Ascension. They're going to win.
Obviously.
On SmackDown, and the Vaudevillains and Golden Truth are on SmackDown as well.
Yeah.
You know, Golden Truth.
Yeah. Whatever. That's fine.
Also, what we did not talk about yet is Dr. Phil. I hate Dr. Phil, but the way he was utilized was
the only acceptable way. I was blown away. I was like, what the fuck is
he
happening?
Two spots.
Yeah.
He had the Charlotte, like, Charlotte, you're so much better than this. You're stooping to these levels. Yeah. Your dad is holding you back moment. And he had, like, a little spot with Golden Truth that was just like, nope, y'all are too fucked up. I can't even do this.
Yeah. It's like, how the hell did this happen?
I know. I was like, I despise this man. And I'm like agreeing with him. And I think he's doing a great job right now.
He made me laugh, like genuinely laugh. And I was like, I don't,
what? Woo! Woo! Woo!
Just, I don't.
He did a great job.
I like too that when he was out at ringside, he wasn't on commentary. Yeah, he had like he was one little watching. Thing. Yeah, and then at the end was like, I'm disappointed. And then that was the end, and I was like, wow, okay, what? Okay, you tricked
good
me,
job,
Rob.
Phil.
You tricked me into liking Dr. Phil somehow. I don't know how this happened, but it worked, I guess.
Well, you did it.
I'm glad he will not be back anytime soon, but that worked out super well.
Natty versus Charlotte, where Charlotte basically won, but then like there's a DQ.
Yeah,
that was awesome.
You mean
I
Natty
liked...
basically won.
That's sure. what I meant. Sorry, yeah. Natty, I love that Natty looked so strong. It was a good match. They both look strong. I like that Natty won, but Charlotte still got to keep the belt. Like I thought right. it was like a really well booked match. We got to see that beautiful moonsault again, even
yes.
though she didn't like.
And I like that she missed it too.
Yeah,
it,
but still like, beautiful.
Yeah, it made her
Charlotte's
look super strong.
Charlotte's moonsault is great. It was super good.
I really enjoyed it. And, like, I liked that... Excuse me. I like that Natty pushes Charlotte to be the person that she was in NXT.
Right.
But she's better than she was in NXT.
Agreed.
And so it's nice, like, I like that she's really starting to find that character. And I loved that spot that she had with Rick before Dr. Phil came out, where she was like, I'm the victim. And usually that kind of, like, makes me uncomfortable when it's like, oh, let's do the victim blamey thing. But, like, it totally works for her. Like, mm-hmm. her spoiled-ass character is, like, just really finding her groove. And I'm so pleased with it. And, like, her in-ring chatter is so good. And she and Natty just push each other to be very good. And,
absolutely.
Like, she sells for Natty in a way that she doesn't sell for other people. And I think it's because she can read Natty and Natty can read her. And, like, they just have very good chemistry together. It was really... really good to see.
Yeah, it was great. I am looking forward to it because the way that they set it up, that there's definitely going to be more. Did you notice, maybe I'm wrong, but it felt like there were less matches but more substantial matches overall on Raw?
I don't know, that might be true. I didn't really notice.
That's what it felt like to me.
I felt like the matches were better, the quality was better.
Absolutely.
Yeah, which was great.
The second of the tag team match, so it was the Usos versus the Social Outcasts, which was like a whatever a match, but the big thing about it is that
the Bullet Club, okay, so here's what happened. All right, so I was like not paying attention to the Usos
because it was a boring match,
because I was like, whatever, I don't care, I'm just gonna check my wrestling Twitter. And then I looked up and they were just in the ring, and I was like, I started freaking out. And
did you like the way that they were introduced though?
I kind of did.
Okay.
I
know of the Bullet Club, and I've watched some of their matches independently, but I have never watched a full show. Like, mm-hmm. I am not up on the Bullet Club's vibe. I don't know. Like, it seems like it fits their character to just come out and fuck with people.
Yeah.
I was expecting more of a formal thing.
They're not the Bullet Club.
They didn't even throw up a Too Sweet.
No.
They like, did their gun high five.
I saw, Kate Shide Seats was talking about this last night. A lot of people are like, are they going to be with Baylor? Are they going to be with AJ Styles? It's entirely possible that they're not going to be with anybody.
Right,
and they're just going to be their own separate thing. And I kind of like the idea of them coming in and just being bruisers. Like, maybe they hook up down the line with other people. But I like the idea of them
maybe
coming in.
Maybe they just hook up, Aaron.
Yeah, maybe they just hook up. but I like that they just kind of came in and were like, we're fucking here. You all know who we are. Everyone's been waiting for this. We're finally here. It's finally happening. Like, I thought that they did that very well. And I'm excited to see who they're going to face.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
I was shocked by it. Like, I knew that they were at Raw, but I didn't think that they were going to do anything.
Yeah. And they both look great, too.
Yeah, they did.
I'm very excited. I don't know if Gallows is going to paint his face in WWE. I kind of hope that he does, just because I like...
They kept the name of their, like, finisher.
Yeah, which I was really surprised by, but awesome. Cool.
Yeah.
I'm super into
super
it.
Super cool.
Yay! Yay! I'm really excited. They're both great.
Apollo won.
Who did Apollo wrestle?
Apollo wrestled the Radical Mongoose.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I forgot
Which is
about
great.
That.
Apollo's theme song puts me in, like, a good mood like no other theme song.
It's so pleasant.
I just, like, jump up and down. I was walking home while I was watching that match, and I was, like, step into the music.
Yeah, it's great.
It was super good.
Fits his enormous smile.
Yeah, he just seems like a legit dude.
Yeah, he does.
It seems so weird that I'm, like, so over for a guy who, like, basically just has the same match over and over again. But I'm, like...
I don't even care.
I just like him.
He just fits the main roster so well,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I just like him.
Yeah, after that match, I was like, I'm so glad you're up here. This is such a better fit.
Right.
Like, even if they're just using you as a mid-card not enhancement, but like in a mid-card like showcase talent.
Right.
I'm okay with that for right now. That's fine.
I also like this feud that they're setting up with Jericho and Dean.
Me too. I had heard a rumor that that was going to be Jericho's next thing and, yeah. and Dean's next thing.
Dean's like, I brought a plant to my own set. You're out.
I loved it. I loved that he just like took the plant down and was like, mine. This is my plant and it goes here. It was so adorable when he was like kind of nervous. I was like, oh, Dean. Oh, you're so dreamy.
He was like,
charming.
What about the scarf though?
Yeah, everyone wants to know about the scarf. This scarf got $700!
No, but for real, what about the scarf? I like this feud a lot.
I do too. And I like the idea that Jericho's show has been canceled and now, like...
Highlight reel.
I like the highlight.
And it's just the Ambrose Asylum.
Yeah, and, like, I think that's a great role for him because they want him to be in that Rowdy Roddy Piper thing. Like,
yeah.
That, like... Give him a segment where he can just, like, talk to people and be a crazy fucking weirdo. Like, absolutely. I think that this is a very natural progression. Like, there's Miz TV, but that's a whole different thing. Like, it fits its own
We did
own
not talk
thing.
About during the Intercontinental number one contenders match, the Maurice and Miz stuff backstage.
Perfect. Oh my god, they're so perfect.
I just love when he upsettedly, like, drank the water and she goes, no, it's domestic! And you spit it out and, like, almost vomited. Like, oh, how could I have put domestic
the
water
The Miz does
in my
not
mouth?
Eat blue M&Ms. Do your job. I also like, too, that Miz and Maurice actually look like they're watching the TV.
Yeah.
So many people are so bad at that because there's nothing there. They can't record a TV that has that picture on it. It comes out all wonky. So they just record them watching a black screen, but they look like they are legitimately watching.
Yeah.
Everyone else is kind of like, gestures. Like, yeah. Who watches television and just, like, wildly gestures? Nobody does. So, like, they do a very good job of that. I was very happy with that.
And then we had the final match, which, full disclosure, I did not watch because I ran out of time. I was like, I have two matches to watch. I have the Galloway-Matt Hardy match to watch, which I know Aaron didn't watch, and the match that I want to watch more, or I have this one. I'll just ask Aaron how this ends.
Yeah.
I'm gonna watch it after this. I just didn't have time to. It was an interesting, like, setup with, like, I know Roman is Roman, but he's there. I like the idea of Bray Wyatt by himself, pseudo on the same side as Roman Reigns. Like, that's kind of interesting.
It's weird that, like, Bray is more of a babyface than Roman is.
I liked his little promo to Roman right before he...
Yeah.
That was one of his better ones in a while.
Yeah, I agree. I don't like them paired together because it made no sense. But by the end of it, I was kind of okay with it. I don't know. I read a really interesting article today at Wrestle News Co. about Roman Reigns and how it's... Talked to my Mark friend that I live tweeted our conversation.
Yeah, the guy that was like, I love Roman Reigns.
Every week he texts
He's
me.
He's great.
And, every week after Raw now he texts me and we like go through and talk about stuff. Oh, we didn't talk about AJ Styles and the Sami Zayn match.
Oh, duh. I knew we were missing something.
I knew we were too. Cause
but
he,
let's finish this thought and then we'll go back to
And then we'll
to
go back to that.
Yeah.
We can end on a high note on Raw then.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so we were talking about Roman and he was like, you know, I like this like... This promo that he did about the I'm not a bad guy.
I'm not a good guy. I'm the guy.
He was like, I like this idea of him. And I was like, it's because you haven't been watching Raw.
Keith Side Seats had a funny thing that was like, I'm not a bad guy. I'm not a good guy. I'm Bill the Science Guy. It was really funny. I retweeted it. It took me off guard. I was like, oh, why? I was like, why is this picture of Bill Nye on Cage? Oh, this is funny.
That's hilarious. But the article that I read was talking about how that sentiment that WWE needs to... oh, that is good. That WWE has to have the guy is really what the problem is.
Right.
Is that they need to have someone that they consider their, like, centralized merch person.
Their Cena.
Right, exactly. Because all they want is branding reasons and they want it for merchandise reasons and it really holds back their product.
Right.
And it was a really interesting argument, too, because it's true that Roman... It doesn't work, what they're doing with Roman, in
right.
so many different ways.
It's
but
not working. It hasn't been working.
Right, exactly. But and part of the problem is that we all understand that they're unwilling to switch to a different branding.
Right.
And, like, and that we all kind of understand that it has nothing to do with the wrestling and that that's what the problem is. I sent it to Brooke and I was like, you should read this when you get a chance and tell me what you think about this. And I liked that line that Roman did last week when he did it for the first time, but then this week he did it exactly the same,
and it was like, oh, so this is just you reading again.
This is your tagline now. Okay, right. So you've just decided this is your tagline, and like, I was making fun of it, and Michael was like, you love long taglines, like, you love Enzo Amore's, and then he did all of Enzo Amore's tagline to make fun of me, and I was like, fuck you, Michael. He's better than Roman.
Also, you know that Enzo wrote that, and right, it's exactly. For him.
Yeah, it's part of his personality, whereas with Roman, it's just like, oh, people liked this line, so do it again. And, like, Roman is good at doing the line, doing line takes the exact same way every single time, which does not work for that.
Guy.
Like, it just, I don't want you to tell me that you're the guy. I want you to show me that you're the guy. And
show, don't tell.
Exactly. And, like, it just seems like they don't understand that with him at all. And it really just misses the mark in so many ways. It's unfortunate, and, like, I really don't think it's all Roman's fault. I think a lot of it, I don't think so either. And I wish that he was better in a lot of ways, but I more wish that they would allow multiple focuses for their branding.
Agreed. AJ Styles versus Sami Zayn.
So good!
The way that they handled Kevin Owens not interfering was great, too. I love the Shane being like, you're gone. Bye-bye. Yeah. Bye-bye now.
Yeah, absolutely.
That was great. I expected him to come back, but I kind of like that he didn't, so that just got an actual match.
Yeah, it was great, and, like, they did a great job.
Great match.
It was a super fun match. And, like, I wish that it had been a triple threat between AJ and Sammy and Roman? Yes,
obviously.
Oh,
speaking of which, we need to buy payback tickets. Does Mike want to go? If so, we should talk to him and then just buy all three together.
Okay, yeah. I will talk to him tomorrow about it.
Okay.
I'm not sure. I don't think that he wants to go. We talked about going before. I'll try.
Oh, but without me again?
No, we were talking about the three of us going, but he was like, I don't know if I want to go to this. So
why? It looks like a great show.
Well, at the time, it was before WrestleMania. Okay. So
ask him again, and then if he says no, we'll get tickets, because okay. I would like to go, because I didn't go to the last two Chicago things.
Yeah.
So I'd like to go.
Yeah. It's going to be fun. And leading into this thought, I am really excited that we're going to see Sammy and Kevin get their own solo fight out of this too. Like, I like that they're kind of like throwing Sammy around, like, where's he going, where are we putting him? But Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn at Payback in Chicago, that crowd is gonna lose their fucking minds. And that alone makes me want to go.
Absolutely.
Like, that is gonna be so much fun. I'm gonna lose my voice. I'm gonna scream my fucking head off. It's gonna be incredible. So good.
So good.
All right.
So good. Lucha time.
Hell yeah.
So we're 2 weeks out from Aztec Warfare, where Dario Cueto came back and fucked shit up.
Yes. Oh, I'm sorry. This is a thought from our last segment that I totally forgot to touch on. Kevin Owens did a fucking sick-ass frog splash, and we should have addressed that. That was baller, and that was, like, one of the
only
things.
Part of me was like, but, like, Sasha's trying to take that move now, so,
I
like,
thought the same thing, but whatever.
Kind of rude, Kevin.
But
it was nice. And it's impressive because he's, like, a big dude.
Right, and he fucking nailed it. It was amazing. And, literally one of the only things I took notes on. So when I opened my Lucha notes, I was like, fuck, we should have said this. Okay, so anyway, back to Lucha.
So Lucha starts with a Vampiro and Dario spot, where Dario's like, look, Ian, or whatever.
Whatever your name is now.
You can come after me and my brother, and you and Pentagon can do whatever you think you're gonna do. You'll die. Also, I need you. Let's just be buds.
Yeah.
And, like, the whole thing with Vampiro having, like, his pills in his hand. You don't know if he's about to, like, snap and go all crazy Vampiro, or if he's gonna say, like, Ian. Like, it was such a beautiful, like, who knew Vampiro was, like, a good actor?
I know, right? I've been really impressed with him this season and really pleased. He's been great.
And, I mean, Dario's the bestest.
Oh, for sure.
Also, we had two backstage spots back to back, because then we had the cops.
So yeah.
The female commander, whose name is...
I do not remember.
I forgot to. And Mr. Sisko, right? It's him?
No, it's Cuerto.
It's the other one.
Yes.
I know that they're not interchangeable, but this is... anybody who listens to this, anybody who wrestles with another person, I think they're both the same.
That's true. You definitely do.
I can't tell tag teams apart most of the time, unless they are very different. And, like, you know, they are different people and they look different, but, like, their gimmick is the same. So, mm-hmm. like, it's hard. It's hard for me, okay?
Yeah, it's okay.
It's hard.
I don't remember anyone's name ever, so I cannot follow you.
But him and Joey Ryan had a spot, and it was the night of the Trios Championship, mm-hmm. or the Trios brackets. Mm-hmm. So Joey Ryan and Mr. Cisco and Castro were all on a team, and they just had a... It's just good to see those. Those backstage spots with the three of them are not the best acting. The three of them are not great actors, actually. They're kind of stilted and weird, but, like, I feel like my love for Joey Ryan gets them over for myself.
Yeah.
And they work. They work for the storylines.
Yeah. They don't have to be great. It's compelling enough, and I'm interested enough that I'm like, all right, great.
What'd you think about Cobra?
Much better. Yeah. I thought that her movement was a lot more... It felt more like she was a snake who was a person. That was what we talked about before.
And also, like, she, like, wrestled instead of just, like, was in her head about a character.
Right, exactly. I think that she still needs some work on the mat. She definitely had some awkward mat movement where I was like, okay, this is...
Yeah.
Like, she scurried back into the ring at one point and, like, did a pin, cover on Ivelisse that was really awkward. I also thought it did not... I think it was smart, but did not help that Stryker kept saying... This isn't a pretty match. This might look like an awkward match, but it's really good. And, like, was trying to, like...
You can say it once or twice, but if you keep saying it...
Yeah, exactly. Like, he said it, like, 3 or 4 times, and I was like, okay, yeah, we get it. That her movement style isn't pretty, and, like, they're not completely gelling, but if you keep pointing it out, it becomes more and more obvious. Weird. Right. But Eva I thought Lisa that she did a great job.
Best pants.
Oh, my God.
New gear.
Ivelisse's ass is
She
incredible.
Also has, like, I mean, Ivelisse head to toe. Incredible.
But those pants really highlight how good her butt is. Holy mother
She
fuck.
Had some sick, like, takedowns, too.
Yeah, they both had cool takedowns. Pants.
And also some really cool submissions from Cobra. That, submissions on the rope.
Yeah, that modified tarantula was super cool. There was another one, too, that I really liked.
Yeah, there were, like, two rope submissions that were really cool. Like, it was a cool, like, it wasn't a perfect thing, but, like, I thought it was a cool match, and it was a good opener. Yeah. And I liked seeing Ivelisse in a... singles match, and it, like, as much as I love intergender wrestling, like, sometimes it's nice to see, like, two women wrestle.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I really appreciated that.
I will say the one major complaint I had about Cobra this time is her kickouts are sort of awkward. She, like, doesn't really have the, like, feel and the timing of, I don't know if it was just her working with Ivelisse, but, like, her, it just felt weird. Like, it was like she was counting in her head, like, 1, 2, and now I kick out. And so
I
that was super
that,
awkward.
That's fair,
but,
I guess.
Like, I that's another thing that I feel like as she gets used to this character that she'll get more used to that. And but also she had that really cool suplex into that submission that she did on Ivelisse, and I thought that was really sick. Like, I like the idea of Cobra Moon as a submission wrestler. I think that works for her. I think she just needs to work on her movement on the ground to, like, really tie that all together.
That's fair. We had there was, like, a lot of
there's a lot of
segments.
Promos. Yeah, which was fine.
But it was good.
Yeah.
Because we got a Killshot one. Killshot has never been my favorite.
I like him.
I like him too, and he has grown exponentially.
Yes.
Over, like, these past two seasons. I really liked that they followed through on the name, and they were just doubled down on it, and they were like, yeah, he's a Marine, he was an assassin.
I love it.
I also like that they potentially set up for, like, more of his, like, brothers to come out.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they potentially set up, like, a faction, or, like, if not, whatever, he's always searching for his lost brothers. Like,
right.
It was this really smart way to do it, like,
yeah,
an open-ended storytelling way in a very, like, it's just jumped in my head, but in a very, like, Claremontian, like, X-Men writing thing from the 70s where he would, like, write a story and then, like, put a couple details in the background that, like, if he went back to, it would look like he was a genius because he, like, wrote a story that lasted for 10 years or, like, some of those, like, failed, like, were just in the background. Like, it's a smart way of telling storytelling that I appreciated.
Yeah.
We had Famous B, being all Famous B. He went up to Mascarita Sagrada, who is the dwarf wrestler. I think that's the proper term.
Yeah.
Mini luchador. That's what they call him. They call him Mini Luchador. I don't know.
Okay, that's fine.
But basically, he was working out in the gym, and Famous B was like, hey, did his little Famous B shuffle. Was like, I'm Famous B. Here's my card. I like your style. Let's boogie.
I wonder if they're going to change that voicemail or if it'll just stay the same forever.
I hope it's the same forever. I mean, we can always call.
Yeah, that's true.
We've already called twice.
That's true.
I'm sure we can call again. He's probably like, oh, my bays. Oh, we had the Mac and Sexy Star the gym. So, yeah. Famous B walks by, and then the Mac and Sexy Star is lifting a fuck ton of weight.
Oh, my God. That was incredible. Baller. Yeah, and it looks badass.
Like, hey, so Dara Cueto's an asshole, and he put me with the moths. Are you going to be there? And she was like, I don't think so. Yeah. I just can't. And he was like, girl. And she was like, I just... And then she was like, ah, I'm so strong.
Her backstage promos have gotten so much better. She's really grown a lot, and it's... I'm glad. Like, I liked her okay in the first season, but did not love her, and I think that she's grown.
She's a lot more of a complex character now. In the first season, she was just like, babyface lady! Yeah. And now she's, like, a complex character.
Right, and I like, too, that they could have made this, like, weird assault story. Like, we still don't really know what happened. We're not really sure if, like, the extent...
I kind of want them to keep it vague.
I kind of don't want to know. I kind of...
Yep. I kind of want to be like, she was kidnapped by these two people who are clearly nutso. It was a traumatic experience, but now she's coming back from it.
Right.
I never need to know details because details make things messy.
Right, exactly. And so I like that they're doing this, and I like that they are using this to make her a more complex character as opposed to making her, like, a scared victim and making the moths the more complex character.
The moths.
Because of their... they're instead of using this as a point for their villainy, we're using it as a pivot as Sexy Star as a stronger character, and I like that is the main focus of this as opposed to being about the villains.
Absolutely.
I think it's very smart.
And so the match was the Mac and the Moths versus the Joey Ryan, Castro, and Mr. Cisco.
Yes.
First of all, Ron Funches was in the audience, and I love Ron Funches.
Yeah!
During WrestleMania, him and Kumail Nanjiani, who two of my favorite comedians ever. I'm super into stand-up comedy. Side note, Nick bought me surprise tickets to go see Pete Holmes' new comedy taping on Saturday.
Sweet!
At the Vic, and I'm so excited. I've waned on my, undying love for Pete Holmes a little bit, just because, his podcast is, the most pretentious thing in the world. I love it, but
Isn't
I also
it, like,
hate it.
It's, 5 hours long.
Is whatever, however long it needs to be. But he's gotten really, spiritual lately, but in a new agey way, which is great. I'm into it, but after a while it's okay, get your head out of your butthole. But I love him as a comedian, so I'm very excited to go to his taping. Anyways, I just like seeing Ron Funches there because I love Ron Funches.
Yeah.
And him and Kumail got into a weird fight on Twitter and in WrestleMania, because Kumail was like, ugh, wrestling, and Ron Funches was like, yeah, what's up? We're very good friends. What's up, bud?
Yeah. Oh, wait. We also forgot to talk about this was a mini promo that happened before this. The Lucha Underground sprayed with the Riddler question mark, which we got answers for later. But I like that idea of the luchadors calling each other through this graffiti.
Well, that's been a thing happening for two seasons.
Has it? I don't remember that.
Yeah. It happened at the end of the first season. That's how the whole season ends, is the Riddler, the question mark on Lucha, because it was basically is Lucha Underground coming back? That was the question.
Oh, that's
And now it's just
right.
a running theme.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, good. I'm glad that I asked about it then.
Yeah. No worries. No worries. So, the Mac is fucking incredible. His, it's just amazing in a very Chris Hero way. It's amazing what this body can do.
Absolutely. I completely agree.
And, you know, and in a Kevin Owens way, it is true that, it is surprising. You see somebody who is, maybe not traditionally in shape or traditionally, what a wrestler, quote-unquote, is supposed to be. And, the things that they... Or no, Bray Wyatt way. And, people who are, people who don't look like Ryback or John Cena, but they can do incredible things. I just love it because it's, surprising, but it's also, fuck yeah, of course.
Yeah, absolutely.
It doesn't... You don't have to be, this Superman to be, a badass wrestler.
All you have to do is love it and work hard.
Right.
You can do it. And that's super awesome.
I love that Joey Ryan was like, I want the girl. Just as
I did
brand,
too.
It's just on brand for him because he's known really far and wide for being an intergender wrestler.
Right, exactly. And it's a nice nod to the people who know that and to the people who don't know who
it is. It just makes him seem like a sleazebag. It makes him seem I can beat up a girl. If you know that he's an intergender wrestler, you're like, okay, that makes sense. But also solidifies his sleazebag character.
Right, exactly.
Then she kicked his ass.
Yeah, and I thought Mariposa's movement was also less awkward this week, which was nice.
I think especially if you're a wrestler who's not used to wrestling and all of that, the mask and stuff. If you learned how to wrestle without a mask and then you put on a mask, I feel like it's going to be a weird transition.
Yeah, that's true.
Which is fair.
That's true.
But I thought she looked great.
Mm-hmm.
The match was really fun.
Fucking the Mac did that standing moonsault in the middle of the ring. That shit was bananas.
And
that was
just
so
stunned
cool.
Everybody because it was fuck you guys.
Yes. Ugh. Stunners for everyone.
Joey Ryan's team went over.
Yes.
And then Sexy Star came out, and the Mac and Sexy Star just, like, took out the moths. And they were like, fuck you. Mm-hmm. Which was awesome.
Yeah, it was great.
So I hope we get that feud now. Like, yes. So the trio of the Joy Ryan, the cop trio.
Yeah. One of them is not a cop.
I know, but, like, it's the cop trio. They can go on and further that storyline.
Right.
Whereas, like, we can get this new and slash building storyline of the Muffs versus this weird pairing of Sexy Star and the Mac. I love that it's, like, totally platonic, too. It's just,
yeah,
like,
me too.
You're my friend, and I care about you.
I respect you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I really like that.
Rey Mysterio is basically Batman, I guess.
Oh my god, that Batman mask is the most amazing thing I've ever seen in my life. I literally, in all caps, just wrote, Batman mask, oh my fucking god, want.
I was just like, is this like a Justice League thing?
I loved it.
Ricochet talked.
Yes!
Huma talked.
Yes, he did! I was so excited.
I was like, I think that is the first time
I think
he
you're
has
right.
Talked.
I think it was the first time. Because I had noticed that he had it. And then as soon as he did, I was like, oh yeah, you definitely haven't talked. I would have remembered this.
And that's cool. That's a cool faction of like, I mean, it's like the babyface faction, but in like a cool, awesome way. Like, I'm very excited to see Azteca Jr., Rey Mysterio, and Puma wrestle on a trio scene. That's going to be dope.
I'm super excited
I'm
about it.
I'm very excited about that. I assume that's happening tomorrow.
Yeah.
Who knows? Mantaza means slaughter. And then he killed Phoenix.
Matanza. We've been switching the N and the T.
I don't speak.
Matanza.
Spanish.
Matanza.
Slaughter.
That makes a lot of sense.
And then we watched him kill Phoenix.
Yes. I also like to. Killed him dead. Speaking of the babyface trio faction, I like that Phoenix is not a part of that because he has his own separate storyline with Katrina and Mill. I think that is really smart.
So Slaughter kills Phoenix and Dario's all like, oh, I love blood. I got a blood boner.
Remember mother. Like, oh, murder him dead is what that means.
And then Mill comes back and is like, yeah, you think you can beat everyone? I was not in that match when you came.
I totally forgot about that.
Yeah, he wasn't in the match.
Yeah.
Five of them took him out.
Yeah.
And then Matanza came out. And so Mill was like, okay, you have a creepy, like, owner who has, like, a thing that keeps you in line. I have a creepy owner who has a stone that keeps me in line. Mm-hmm. I'm big. You're big. I'm dead. You're dead inside. Let's do this. And then she came out and just locked eyes with Dario and was like, I'm for you.
Yes, I love this like key versus rock thing that they've got going
key
on.
Key rock.
Like, oh yeah, they're gonna murder each other dead.
That was such a solid episode.
Everything about the last match just screamed murder them dead.
Murder them dead.
It was great.
Into it. Love Lucha.
Can't wait. I can't wait for tomorrow.
For tomorrow. Our little episode here.
Yeah, great.
Well, we hope you enjoyed it.
Yeah.
As always, you can find us on the internet. I'm at Stella_Cheeks.
I'm at Urgency.
You can find us on CagesideSeats.com. You can find us on the website, or you can also find us on their YouTube. Please subscribe to us and rate and review on iTunes. I'm like talking well and doing something. Well, I'm trying to pull up some reviews so that I can read them because we got some new reviews and I want to read them because I love patting myself on the back, I guess. We got three new reviews.
Okay.
One from Ivan Firejay, which if that's your real name, like, congratulations.
I interact with him on Twitter.
But Firejay is like a great name.
Yeah, that's true.
My favorite wrestling podcast. If you are a smart wrestling fan who wants to listen to a positive look on modern wrestling, this is the podcast for you. Both hosts are incredibly kind to their fans and are very passionate wrestling fans. Give it a listen. Little rock and roll hand.
Rock and roll hand.
Rock and roll hand. Then we got another one, Best Wrestling Podcast Out There by HG1010429. I enjoy every minute of every episode. Honestly, I can't even say that about any of the pro wrestling shows I watch. Aw.
That's so nice.
It's very nice and sad, but we get it.
We get it.
And Excellent by Dark Rider. After listening for a few weeks now, I can easily say that Not Your Demographic is now my favorite wrestling podcast. The dynamic between you two is quite fun. High five.
Boom.
We could just do it.
Okay, we can. It was the weakest high five ever.
We like just touch chance like Rocky Horror style. And it presents a different view of the wrestling product that I'm used to. Keep it up.
Awesome.
So thank you guys.
Thank you everybody.
Please leave us a review so that we can read it out loud and you'll feel good because you hear your review and then we'll feel good because you reviewed us.
Yeah. Everybody's
it's just
great.
Like a weird internet mm-hmm. circle jerk.
Oh, also, if you are in Chicago, you should come to the Plan 9 show on Friday.
Pimp it, pimp it. We have two left on the 15th and the 22nd. It's at 8 p.m. at Uptown Underground. Tickets at plan9burlesque.com.
Yeah, it's last week was great.
Last week's show was really awesome.
We didn't really talk about that, but it was fucking fun as shit.
It was really fun.
Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. So Plan 9 is such a specific company. Like, we have really, really grown a loyal fan base of, like, people who get our style, people who are nerdy, people who just appreciate it. And the first night, it was, like, a lot of people who had never seen our show before. So, like, they were like, we like it. And they were responsive, but, like, it wasn't, quote, our crowd. And then as soon as I walked out and I saw the people, I was like, this is going to be a great show.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're going to get all of our nerdy jokes. Like, I threw in some really obscure Doctor Who lines. And I heard, like, a couple of people laugh. And I was like, ha-ha, yes!
Yeah, it was great. It was so much fun. I'm, like, the first week, nobody really got the gag of my character, and everybody liked it the second week, and I was like, all right.
Yeah, they really felt for you.
Yeah, they, like, got real sad, and I was like, oh, guys, okay. Well, that was unexpected, but I loved it.
Clarification, she's a red shirt.
Yeah, so, I mean, you should know. You should understand.
You should understand. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to be like, they felt sad. It's a burlesque show. It's not a sad thing.
No.
But her gimmick is funny.
Yeah, it worked. It was really funny.
You can find us at notyourdemographic.tumblr.com.
You can email us at notyourdemo@gmail.com.
Did we give her Twitter handles?
Yes.
We did that.
Yeah, we already did that.
Nailing it. She did a great job tonight. This is like a short episode for us.
Yeah, we flew through this.
Where did this energy come from?
I have no idea.
I'm going to use this energy to go buy toilet paper because my boyfriend bought paper towel instead. That's what I'm going to do.
That's good.
Okay.
All right.
Peace, you jabronis.
FABULOUS.
Sound.
Oh, it sounded like a wolf or whatever.
I don't know what it was.
Oh, I'm nervous now.